Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with another lesson from Westminster Shorter Catechism, and this lesson is on sanctification. Question and answer 35. What is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace. Of course, grace refers to the favor of God shown to you and me on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. And this free grace is extended to you and to me, not because of anything you have done or I have done, but again, on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done. And sanctification is a work of God's free grace. By contrast, justification is the act of God's free grace. Justification is an act in which God, on the basis of what Jesus has done, declares you to be forgiven of your sins and declares you to be righteous in His sight. The righteousness of Christ is given to you as a free gift, and your sins are wiped away. This is an act of God. In the same way, adoption is an act of God's free grace. It is a legal act in which God brings you into His family as His child on the basis, once again, of what Jesus Christ has done for you. By contrast, sanctification is a work. It's not a single act, but it is a work. It is something that transpires over a period of time. It is a work in which you are renewed in the whole person after the image of God. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God with true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Adam had a true knowledge of God. He knew God was his creator. He knew God as his father. He knew that he himself was a creature of God. He also had true righteousness. In other words, he was able to judge justly. He saw himself properly as the creature of God, and he knew that as his creator, God was his commander-in-chief. He was able to judge justly. And finally, Adam had true holiness. Adam was set aside perfectly to the purposes of God. Now, you and I are being renewed in true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. We are being brought to a place where we too fully and completely understand God as our Creator, and we ourselves as creatures of God, and we're growing in this knowledge of God, a true knowledge as we study the Scriptures and as the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to our hearts and illuminates our minds and our hearts. We more properly, over a period of time, understand who God is as our Creator and who we are as His creatures. And our judgments are being renewed. We are being renewed in true righteousness so that we are able to judge justly. And over a period of time, studying the Word of God and learning the Word of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we are enabled more and more to judge justly in this life. We are not free from sin, as we will explore in a moment. but we grow in our ability, and we are growing in holiness. That is, more and more we are set aside to the proper purposes of God. And as the Catechism says, we are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Because we have been converted to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because you and I have been renewed, that is, you have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, your heart is newly inclined to do the will of God. And although the reign and the rule of sin over your life is broken, there is remaining sin in your life. You are not suddenly made pure and holy, but over a period of time, you are enabled more and more to die to sin, to set aside the sinful influences in your life, and to live more and more to righteousness, unto the righteous standards of the Ten Commandments that God has given. This is a process that takes place over a period of time. In this light, let me give to you two particular texts of Scripture. The first one comes from Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 5 through 10. In this, the writer to the Hebrews speaks about Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ, and he does so by quoting from Psalm 40. Listen to the text. "Consequently, when Christ came into the world," he said, "sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices you have not taken pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." Now, having quoted from Psalm 40, the writer to the Hebrews now interprets Psalm 40 for you and for me. He says, when he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law, then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. Psalm 40 refers, on one hand, to the sacrifices of the Old Testament sacrificial system carried out in the temple. And then Psalm 40 refers to Christ coming to do the will of the Father. And Psalm 40, in doing so, says, according to Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writer to the Hebrews says, he does away with the first in order to establish the second. In other words, in coming to do the will of the Father and dying on the cross and rising again, Jesus Christ does the will of the Father, and he does away with the first, that is, the sacrificial system carried out in the temple in the Old Testament, and he does so in order to establish the second, in order to establish his own sacrifice as the once for all sacrifice done to fulfill the sacrifices of the Old Testament and set you free from sin. Listen again to what the writer to the Hebrews says in verse 10, "And by that will by accomplishing that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, you were sanctified. And it was in this sense, you were set apart for the purposes of God. And then, having been set aside for the purposes of God, you have now been set aside to the process of sanctification, the work of sanctification, about which Westminster Shorter Catechism 35 speaks. And this brings us to the second text to which I call your attention, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is a classic text on sanctification. Listen to it carefully. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, now, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Work out your salvation. And what Paul is telling you and me here is that Christ died for you, and you were set aside for the purposes of God. In this sense, you were sanctified. You were set aside for holiness. Now, work out the implications of what God has done for you. Work out the implications of your salvation. In other words, die more and more to sin and live more and more to righteousness. And you are able to do this because the reign and the rule of sin over your life has been broken. And as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2 and verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you. You see, sanctification is the work of God's free grace. God is at work in you. And Paul describes this work of God in you. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God's good pleasure is recorded in the Ten Commandments, the things that you ought to do and the things that you ought not to do. You are to always tell the truth. You are to be faithful in your relationships. You are to be obedient to all lawful authority. You are to have a heart which is not covetous, but full of contentment. You see, these are the good things of God. These are the things that describe the good pleasure of God. And God is at work in you, not only to desire to do these things, not only to have an inclination of heart to do these things, but also to actually carry them out. God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. What a wonderful thing this is. And so, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby you are renewed in the whole person, in the image of God, and enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. And do you have the capability to die more and more unto sin and to live more and more unto righteousness? Yes, indeed you do, because you are born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Give thanks to God that this is the case. And as the Apostle Paul says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation. You are a privileged person. You are privileged people who are given God's free grace and enabled to work out the implications of your salvation in this wonderful process of sanctification. Thanks for listening.